Begin with a prayer. Jesus, Messiah, Deliverer, and our salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, you see our hearts and know our minds. Nothing can be hidden from you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you. You are the one who is the foundation of our faith. Amen. It's a bit interesting that again, for leading up to Christmas, we have a story of John the Baptist talking about preparing ye the way. Usually we read this probably around Easter, actually. But here we have the proclamation that John is saying, prepare ye the way, make straight your paths. And it's a bit odd that it is right now, because John the Baptist came 30 years after Jesus was born. However, the connection is that Jesus came to be our salvation. The birth of Jesus and the coming of Christ was an obscure entrance into the world. But he is the Messiah, and his coming is foretold by the prophets. God does things very differently. He does not comply with our expectations. Have I got any hands up for that? How often have we prayed, God, I wanted you to do it this way, and we find that God answers our prayers, but it's completely different and completely unexpected. Yet the Messiah means God's anointed one, the deliverer, and our salvation. So this Christmas is not simply a celebration of a baby born into this world, but the coming of our salvation. And he is not, as it were, come to simply do good stuff for us, and that is it. We have to know that he himself is our salvation. I'll say that again. Jesus himself is our very salvation. And from the crib to the cross, he did the work of his Father in order to embody our salvation. This is distinctly different from someone that comes to rescue us and then goes away. We now live constantly in Christ's salvation, in which we are grafted into his life, drawing from this life, which is from the Holy Spirit, which as Christians is the only way that God wants us to thrive. We are restored into the life and relationship with God as he always meant us to have and be. And this is the full package of what salvation means. But we look at what John the Baptist is actually saying, because this is John the Baptist calling us to repentance. But we've got to look at the fact of what sin is and what it actually is. Because sin is when men turned away from God, when humanity turned from God and said, we don't need God in our lives. We'll make our own decisions. We'll be our own gods. And so we cut ourselves from God. And God has constantly been... his mission is to restore us back into relationship with him. And so he sends Christ, ultimately. He sends Christ to be our salvation. But he sends John the Baptist to herald that coming of our salvation. And he says, make straight your paths. Bring down those mountains, fill up the valleys. I like this one. Make smooth the rough roads. As a country person, on country roads. Who knows what corrugations are? Who's had to drive many miles on corrugations? Make smooth our paths. You see, repentance is not about just, oh God, just forgive me for my sins, but God, I turn to you to be my life. I turn from the things that have complicated my life because of sin, those consequences, and I turn to you and I call on you to be that life in me. Because really, that's all we can do. All we can do is turn away from the things that would hinder us in our relationship with God. But it is God who then fulfills our life so that our lives, despite the complications there are, we know we have a smooth path with him. And I've lost my way. I've lost my way on the path of my sermon. But Jesus comes to bring us salvation. He comes to give us his grace, his mercy. He comes to call us into that reunification with him. And it is through that that we come into the grace of God. And it's by his Spirit that he helps us to live, to thrive for him. One of the beautiful things at the end of this reading is that God's salvation is known to all the world. The interesting thing about that is that knowledge comes because God uses us to be that demonstration. I want to give you a little analogy, and that is that I got a little rescue dog, and she was found nearly dead from abuse and starvation. She was so shell-shocked that the people who advertised her chose not to advertise her but called me directly, and it's a Working Dog Rescue Association, and they said, Peter, we got a dog. We've got to know you after a few months, and we haven't advertised this dog because she's so bad. She's so shell-shocked. Please come and have a look at this dog. We want to see if we can give her a chance. So I went and saw this little dog, and she was. Just driving home, she was so nervous. She vomited 3 times in a car, and it was just purely by nerves. And I remember when we got her home, and she was out in the backyard, and we let her out in the backyard. She was so paranoid of everything. She just stood in one spot in the backyard. She didn't know what to do. She didn't even know how to play. And I remember I went to take the dog for a walk. Her name, we gave her a name. Her name's Mally. And we took Mally for a walk. And I remember walking down the street, and my neighbour was coming down the other way, and my neighbour would have been 100 metres away, but Mally started to panic, and she literally was fighting against the lead, and I got down and I held her against me, and my neighbour came up and said, oh my hat, what have you got that dog for? You know, that dog's a mess, you'll never do anything good with that dog, and you know, and was just sort of, could only see the mess, could only see the damage in this dog. And anyway, over a period of time, Mally began to trust us, and we took her to places where she'd meet other people and experience connection with other people, and she began to calm down, and she began to love other people. And in fact, she at church, if someone was in tears, she would leave our side and go up and put her chin on someone's knee. She had such a beautiful little doggy heart. But one of the other things that happened was that my neighbour saw what was happening to Mally and went, this was amazing. I never thought she'd be recoverable. I never thought that Mally could, you know, be a normal dog again. And so he started to tell all my other neighbours and other friends and other people that had dogs that were misbehaving, you should go and see Peter and Heather. You should go and see them and, you know, they'll show you how to love a dog. There's two analogies here in this whole story. The analogy is that like Mally, we're like Mally. Sin damages us. And yet God brings us in and he shows us his love. He shows us his care and his kindness. He shows us his grace. And he says, you are worthy. You are who I chose to belong to and you to belong to me. Never forget that God chooses us to dwell in as well. We kind of forget that bit. We think, oh yeah, God's called me, that's okay. But no, God wants to shine through our lives by being in our lives. And so we come into the grace of God and we become like him. Mally picked up Heather's and my tracks. So. Some of them weren't that good. But the other analogy is that when we become as God had designed us to be, resting in his love, knowing his love for us, that he loved us and loves us so dearly and so deeply, this brings us healing and hope, assurance in a world of confusion. But knowing that and living that and walking that amongst other people, we begin to be able to share that grace to others and genuinely share that. Like Mally would get up in church and go and put her little chin on someone's lap. God's calling us all to reach out to others with that same love that he has given us. And you know what this all means? This is what salvation means. This is what salvation is. That we live and dwell with our Father God, not as someone that's over there or at a distance, but part of us and that we can live and be and share and relate with and this is what we celebrate Christmas about, because we come into this grace. We come in to this amazing peace and joy and all these candles, you know, hope, love, peace, joy. Christ himself in the middle of all that, us. And that's what God wants for us. I want to finish with a poem. Not because I'm spooking my own poems, but imagine what it'd be like if Joseph had lived on after the crucifixion. And I've called this Atreides Christmas. Christmas is Atreides Day. It's written down no other way. A chippy, his girl, and especially a shed. Are you getting that picture inside of your head? God chose a tradie in his great plan, a real down-to-earth, hands-on man. A bloke that knew how to look after his missus, but not with vain promises and hugs and kisses. So when Jesus was born, what did he do? Joseph taught him to saw and nail and glue. He trained Jesus to work with his hands, gave him a trade to take through the lands. A father and son carpentry team, the answer to any tradie's best dream. Now Jesus, a craftsman until he was 30, didn't mind hard work and getting all dirty. Then he preached up until 33. That's when they nailed him to the tree. A nail in his hands that created and healed. A nail in his feet that walked and kneeled. I believe Joseph's heart must have bled as he thought of the days in the back of the shed. As he picked up a nail and hammered in wood, could anyone know what he understood? He knew why Jesus was here. Working with him made it so clear. He trained and loved him and gave him the best. But nailed to a cross was more than a test. He remembered the day with the star, the stable, the wise men that travelled so far. He remembered the angels, gifts given to keep. The words, God's Son came to save the lost sheep. God chose a tradesman, not the religious, not wealthy, famous, or someone prestigious. Now Joseph knew it was time to let go. What would happen? How could he know? In that shed, as he pondered in there, the world was waking up everywhere. The king had arisen. He paid for our sin. A whole new story was about to begin. Now, if Joseph was here with us today, what would he tell us and what would he say? Listen to God and trust with your heart, even when everything tears you apart. If you're a tradie, there's always a cost when you weigh up the risk and take on the loss. The value is there when you see it right through. Like Joseph at Christmas. Now it's reached you, me and you. Amen.